We're holding on some Hey Umud Bays by the second Mishnah, bottom of the Umud. We were talking about the fact that the husband has to give instructions for the get to be written in order for it to be written, because when the pasuk says v'chosav lo, it doesn't mean the husband himself has to write the get, but it means it does have to be written at his instructions. We talked about yesterday, is that because without such instructions, you don't have shlichus, or is it a specific thing by a get because it has to be written lishma? Whatever the case, you need those instructions. So we talked about yesterday, for example, the various expressions that the husband might use that do constitute such granting of authorization to them to write the get, and which ones not. So now this and the next Mishnah are going to talk about. Now there's two parts of a get. There's the writing it, and there's the delivering of it. What does the husband have to say in order for it to be, which of those does the husband have to say in order for them to be able to do the whole thing? So the Mishnah says, originally the Chachamim said, Hayotze, if somebody is going out with chains around his neck, koiler is actually like the word collar in English. So they would do that. Rashi explains when the government was going to execute somebody, they would have them go out. They'd have them. They'd take them to the place where they're going to be executed with a chain around their neck. The Yerushalmi brings actually, and Rashi and the Yerushalmi brings, and the Rambam brings it lahalacha actually, that it would apply even if the person is not being taken out to be executed, even if they only arrested him and put chains on him because of something involving dine momonos. In fact, and then so then the halacha is that even that, because even when once he's got one once they're putting a chain on his neck, then it means things are pretty serious. So even with dine momonos, his life might be in danger. And the Chasam Sofer says Rashi might actually agree to that. He's just talking according to originally in the Mishnah before they added more categories of people who are in danger. Then it would be only somebody who was being judged for dine nefashos. Anyway, so that. He says to people, write a get for my wife. So he didn't say anything about giving the get, he just said, write it. And in the following Mishnah, we're going to learn on some Chavavim and Aleph that, or a couple of Mishnahs further, and on one of the Mishnahs on Daf Samach Vav, we're going to talk about that if a regular healthy person says just kisvu without saying tenu, they can't yet deliver the get because he didn't say to deliver it. But here, he who only mentioned writing it, they're still able to write it and give it to her because we assume that he was afraid of what's going to happen to him, and therefore he left off the word tenu, but he meant to include it as well. So Chozru Loimar, later on, the Chachamim changed their mind and said not only that case, Afam Farish, also a person who's getting ready to go on a voyage in the sea, the same thing. So he's not in imminent danger right now, like the person who's Yotze B'Koiler, but nevertheless, the fact is there is potential danger over there of what might happen on the trip. We see, after all, a person has to bench Goimel when he comes back from such a voyage. And similarly, when a person is going with a caravan, we're going to go where they're going to, where he's going to go travel across the desert, same kind of thing. So all of those, then also, if he says kiss will get leishti, then they can also deliver the get, even though he didn't say tenu, because we assume that he's in a hurry, he wants to go on his trip, and therefore he forgot to say the word tenu, but he meant to say it. Reb Shimon Shazuri, Omer Afa Masukan. Reb Shimon Shazuri says also another one in this category is also somebody who's dangerously ill. Now Rashi just says Masukan means Chola. The Rambam defines it more as the person became suddenly ill. So then also Reb Shimon Shazuri says, and the halacha is like him, that that he also, if he says Kisvu without Tenu, you can still write and give the get on his behalf. So now the Gemara is going to go into a case involving Dine Momonos, which is going to relate back to what we said in our Mishnah. The story involves Gniva. Now, we've had Gniva several times in the Masechta already. Back on Daf Zayin, we first were introduced to him. He was a Talmud Chacham, but we said he didn't have good midas. In particular, he was starting up with and harassing Ma'ukva to the point where we said Ma'ukva couldn't take it anymore, and he's asking Rabbi Lazar in Eretz Yisrael whether he's allowed a Pialacha to master Gniva to the government so that he to get him to leave him alone. And Rabbi Lazar told him, no, you stay calm, you daven and you learn, and Hashem will take care of the situation. And sure enough, the Gemara said over there that not long after he received that reply from Rabbi Lazar, then sure enough, Gniva was put in chains and taken out to be executed. So here we have the end of the story. In between, we had on Daf Lamed Aleph and Daf Samach Beis. In between, we had where Rav Huna and Rav Chista met up with him, and they said he is a Talmud Chacham, but he's a Palga, he's a Baal Machloikas. So here we have the end of the story. So Gniva Yotzi B'Kolo Hava, he was being taken out in chains to be executed. Ki Hava Kanofik, as he was on the way. Omar, he says, Hovu arba mea zuzi l'rabavina mechamra de Nahar Panya. Give Rabavina from the wine of Nahar Panya, is the name of a place, give him 400 zuz. So we're going to see further on in the Gemara, what does he mean? Does he mean 400 zuz worth of wine? Does he mean to sell the wine and give him 400 zuz from the proceeds? But anyway, that's what he had said. Which is a sefer written about 100 years ago that goes through in detail all the information we have about all the Tanoim and Amiroim mentioned anywhere in Shas. He mentions an interesting point. This Rav Avina, we find in Brachas, is a Talmud of Gniva who said a teaching in Halacha over in his name. Maybe and he seems to be the only one that mentions elsewhere a Chaver of Gniva's who said, but as far as Talmudim, only Rav Avina, he says maybe that's why Gniva wanted Davka to give this big bequest to Rav Avina, because he appreciated the fact that Rav Avina had remained his Talmud and quoted Halacha in his name. Anyway, the question basically is besides the question, what it means, whether he means to give him the actual wine or the proceeds from the wine, you also have the question, there's no kinyan, there's no shtar, there's no nothing over here. Does this work? So Omer Rav Zeira, says, Dora Rav Avina l'silte, Rav Avina ought to pick up his basket, meaning pack himself food for a trip, and go. V'oza l'gabe de Rav Huna Rabbe, and he should go to his Rebbe Rav Huna, and based on what Rav Huna says, he'll be able to collect on this bequest of Gnivas. The Omer Rav Huna gita kimat nasai, because we find that Rav Huna says that the get of a shchiv merah is similar to the matona of a shchiv merah, which means ma matnasai im omad choser. Now, when it comes to a matnas shchiv merah, the din is that so he gives away everything that he has. But he doesn't mean, obviously, he has in mind that if he recovers, he wants all of that back. He doesn't want it to be given away permanently. He just wants these matonas to take effect if he passes away. So if he recovers from his illness, then choizer, then he's able to retract and get back and get back whatever it was that he gave away. Af gito yim omad choizer, the same way with the get. If he recovers, then he's able to change his mind. Because again, obviously, he only meant to divorce her only if he actually dies. And he means that the divorce should take effect right before he dies, as the Gemara is going to point out in a minute, and get lachamisa. And therefore, we can also make the comparison the other way around, which Rashi explains. This next piece is not part of Rav Huna's statement. It's actually we ourselves are deducing it from what Rav Huna is saying. And the Marshal and Marshal talk about why we should assume that. In particular, because if it was all part of Rav Huna's statement, then instead of saying umagitoi, then the expression would something like be like the expression to begin with would have been gitoi kimat nose umat nose ke gitoi. And Maharshal gives another reason. The point is, in other words, so Rav Huna only made the equation that just like a matonim omad choser, so a getim omad choser. And we'll see, we'll talk about how that fits with our Mishnah. But the second part, which is what which is what's relevant to our sugya over here, where we want to show that Rav Avinah is going to be able to actually get this matana. For that, we ourselves need to deduce the second half from what Rav Huna had said in the first half. That. So therefore, we would say, now when it comes to a get, even though the Shchivna did not specify, we're saying in our Mishnah that even though he says kisvu and he didn't say tnu, and normally a person has to say tnu in order for the get to be able to be given, and yet in our Mishnah we're saying that a Shchivna doesn't, because we're saying that Reb Shimon Chazuri says afa masukan, and the halacha is like that. And anyway, even without Reb Shimon Chazuri, we said ayotzi makolo, which was the case with Gniva. So kiven de oma kisvu afugav la oma tnu. Once he says kisvu, even without tnu, it's good enough, and we can write and give the get. Af matnosei kiven de oma tnu afugav la konumine. Then it would work, even if he said just give it, even without making kinyan. So even though there's no kinyan over here, then Reb Zera is saying, based on what Reb Huna is saying, Reb Avinah should be able to collect this bequest that Gniva left him. However, the Gemara maskif for Rav Abba, but Rav Abba says, why is it a valid comparison? E ma matona yeshlo achamisa. Well, then, in that case, if you're going to say the matona takes place only after he dies, because it is possible, yeah, so you can have a shchivna. I can say, after I die, I want you to give such and such to somebody, and that takes effect when he dies. Are you going to say, if you're going to equate a get to, if you're going to equate, if you're going to make an equation in both directions between a get and a matana, are you going to say af get yeshna la'achamisa? You're going to say the same thing. The get can take place after he dies. Can't ein gerushin la'achamisa. We already learned this earlier in the Masechta. We're going to learn it more extensively in the next parak, that the get can't take effect after the person has died. By definition, the get has to take effect while the husband is alive. So obviously they're not the same. So once you're seeing that they're not comparable as far as that, why should you assume they're comparable as far as when they take effect in terms of whether he made a kinyan or not? So the Gemara answers back, Hochi Ashta, how are you thinking to make a comparison? What kind of a question is that, Rav Abba? Bishlema matona isa la'achamisa, a present, sure, it's possible for it to be given after the person dies, el get la'achamisa mi'ika, but there's no such thing as a get la'achamisa, so obviously they're not really the same thing. Now, the question, of course, is, I mean, the machshon of Abba and the Gemara that's giving there, and the Taritzin that's giving the answer seem to be both saying exactly the same thing. So what exactly is the Teretz adding? Rav Abba knows that there's a difference between them. That's the whole thrust of his argument. So what are you answering? Yeah, there's a difference. Well, then if yeah, there's a difference, then how are you learning one from the other? So the Marshal says that. So what it means is like this. We're saying a get is completely not shayach la'achamisa, because as soon as he dies, the fact that she needs yibum right away kicks in. That's the reason why he would be giving a get in this case, rather than just he'll die, is because he doesn't want that she should have to do chalitza or yibum. But the moment he dies, that zika kicks in, and now she's chayiv and chalitza or yibum. So there's no room. So even if we were to say, conceivably, there could be a get la'achamisa, it's already overridden by the zika that takes effect at that point. So where's a matana? You don't have that. As soon as he dies, then there's room for it to be chal, and there's nothing preventing it from being chal. So therefore, there's no problem. So therefore, that's so sort of Abba was arguing, in other words, that since we see that ain't get la'achamisa, therefore, and you see therefore, so therefore matana, so we see that a matana is not completely comparable, because a matana could be la'achamisa. So what the Gemara is answering is, yes, that's true. But the reason for that is not because the get in principle couldn't take effect la'achamisa, but because by the time it takes effect, it's too late already, the zika has already taken effect. That's how Marshal says. Marshal says it somewhat differently. He says that look, you know, the fact that the Rav Abba's question again was that they're not the same. So with the Shrivra, if he says kisvu tnu, then they can give it even la'achamisa. But the fact is, even if the Shrivra said by a get kisvu tnu, you still wouldn't be able to give it la'achamisa. So the answer is it's true that by a get it's true. If he says tnu la'achamisa, then of course they can't, because the fact is they are different in that regard, because en get la'achamisa. So the question, so according to the Maharshal, the question would be that Rav Abba is saying that, that as much as possible, you should try to compare them. And here, obviously, you can't compare them. And the Gemara is answering that, the fact is, you want to compare to where he explicitly says tnu, fine, by a matona, that would work. By a get, it would not work. So we see that even when you're explicit, there's still a difference. So fine, here we can talk about when there's not explicit, though, you can still draw a comparison between them being not completely explicit and say, though, that in terms of that, they're the same. So that deflects Rav Abba's question. And so on the face of it, Rav Avinah is still entitled to the bequest. But the Gemara says, Elo Rav Abba hochi kokashalei. Okay, that's true. So we can't say that Rav Abba's question was that because a get can't be la'achamisa, therefore the matnas shrivna also can't be la'achamisa, and therefore we should say that there's no comparison between them at all. Fine, there is an obvious difference between them. But Rav Abba's question is something else. Matnas shrivna b'miktzatzi. This isn't Gniva giving away all of his property to Rav Avinah. He's only mentioning a specific thing of his property, 400 zuz from the wine of Nahar Panim. And umatnas shchivra b'miktzas boya kinyan. So that and umatnas shchivra that applies to only part of his property does require a kinyan. The whole concept that we talk about matnas shchivra, that it's effective right away, that's when he's giving away everything, because then we assume im omad choizer, if he recovers from it, then he's able to change his mind, because obviously he wouldn't have wanted to leave himself without anything. But if he's giving away only some of his property, obviously he expects to recover, otherwise we can't take the rest of it with him either. So then in that case, it's like a regular matana and it requires a kinyan. So what are you telling me here that Rav Avinah is going to get it without a kinyan? So the Gemara asks, well, the fact that Rav Abba is bringing up that point, Miklal did Rav Huna Savalai by a kinyan. Well, would that imply that Rav Huna would disagree and say kinyan is not needed even in that case? Vakai Malanda by a kinyan. We know for a fact that it requires a kinyan when it's only a partial matan. So it's true then. How would Rav Huna's din help us in our case? The answer is shiny hochdem et sava machmas misahu. The difference is over here that Gniva is giving the instructions because he's about to die. He knows that he's not going to come back. So therefore, even a matana b'miktzas, normally by a shchiv mera, there's always the chance that he may recover. But here, yotze b'kolo, realistically, he's not going to come back from it. So therefore, when he's giving the instructions, it's the equivalent of a regular matna shchiv mera, the whole thing. So fine, he's not giving away the rest, because the rest he wants is yoshim to get. But nevertheless, we still can say that it's valid without a kidney. So that's not a good question against what Gniva said and against what Rav Zeira is saying. But the Gemara says, Elo Rav Abba hochi kokashalei. Fine, but Rav Abba has another question on this story. Chamro lo ka'amar, what is Rav Avinah supposed to collect from? Gniva did not say that he should get 400 zuz of the chamra, of the wine, which in that case, then that would be that we measure out 400 zuz worth of wine and give it to him. And he also doesn't say the value of the wine, which would mean that the Yoshim of Gniva should take the wine, sell it, and give Rav Avinah 400 zuz from it. He didn't say either one. All he said was mei chamra kamar. He said give him 400 zuz from the wine. So what does that mean? It sounds like a meaningless statement. It sounds like we're saying, take the wine and make it into 400 zuz. Well, you can't. You can't make money. You can't make wine into money. So in that case, then leaving everything aside that we said about mitzvah machmas misa and all that, don't you have the issue that what Gniva said seems to not have any meaning? So can't the Yoshim say that it doesn't mean anything and we're not obligated? Tosfos, by the way, points out that if he had meant Dmei Chamra, then shouldn't it be a Dabar Shaloi Bala Olam? Because after all, it hasn't been sold yet. And the answer is this. So Tosfos gives two answers. Number one, It means that Gniva would be saying that Rabbi Avinah owns the wine, not insofar as he can drink the wine or whatever, but only insofar as he can sell it and use the money. Or the difference is we're talking about wine was already sold. That Gniva means there's money that I have from wine from Nahar Panya that I already previously sold and from which I earned 400 zuz. And now that 400 zuz, particularly that I earned from that, then I'm earmarking for Rabbi Avinah. Either way, then it's not a Dovah Shaloi Balayim. Anyway, the point is that Rab Abba is saying, though, that the fact is he didn't say Dmei Chamra, he didn't say Chamra either, he said Mei Chamra, which seems to be a meaningless statement. So what does Rab Zera answer to that? He says, on the contrary, Mei Chamra Kedele Yakvus Es Koyfei. On the contrary, you can say that Gniva used the word Mei Chamra in order to improve Rab Avinah's claim to the bequest. Meaning, because if he had said one or the other, if he said give him wine, then what would happen if some of the wine afterwards goes sour? The Yoshim could say, well, that wine was what Rabbi Avinah was meant to get, so tough luck, we're going to give him that. And if he only said Dmei Chamra, the value of the money, so then if they sold the wine and raised the 400 zuz, and then that 400 zuz got stolen, then also they could tell him that they're lost or whatever, then they could say, it's your money that got lost, and it's your problem, and we don't have to give it to you. By saying Mei Chamra, specifically Gniva is meaning, on the contrary, that neither of those excuses will work, and they have to give him that 400 zuz no matter what. So Rab Zera is saying, on the contrary, you're saying, Rab Abba, that Mei Chamra makes things worse. In fact, it makes things better for Rab Avinah. And in fact, Shocho Mitam, in fact, they sent a message from there, meaning from Eretz Yisrael, precisely that, Mei Chamra Kedei L'Yakvus Es Koyfei, that the word Mei Chamra, the expression Mei Chamra is chosen very deliberately because it means that he wants to improve improve Rab Avinah's claim to the wine. So they can't just give him wine that's spoiled and tell him that's the wine that you were supposed to get. They can't tell him your wine got lost. They have to give him the actual. They have to give him the actual wine. They have to give him the 400 zuz regardless, and they can't get away with it. So that's the answer. Therefore, so Gniva, being a Talmid Chacham, deliberately chose that wording in order to improve that this way Rabbi Avinah will be entitled to the money no matter what. Mishnah says, Misha, here's another case where a person doesn't have to say tnu and they're still able to write the get and give it. Misha haya mushlach labur, somebody was thrown into a pit, he's at the bottom of a pit and he can't get out. V'omar, and he calls out, kol Hashem, and he calls out his name and all his identifying details and his wife's name and all the identifying details. So for Omar, and he says, "Kol Hashemayas Kole Yichtav Get LeIshtay." Anybody who hears my voice should write a get for my wife. So now again, he didn't say the word tnu, but the same thing. Harayelu Yichtav Ubi Yitnu. They're able to write the get and to deliver it based on what he's saying. Because again, even though he didn't say the word tnu, we assume that in his panic he forgot to mention that point. But nevertheless, it's still valid, and he's able to and they're able to give it on the basis of that. Tosfos explains over here that the vort is that here basically what he's doing is he's making whoever hears his voice, he's saying whoever hears my voice, I'm making you a shliach to write this get. So therefore that works, and they can write the get and they can give it to him. So the Gemara asked, "V'leicho shema shedu? Why aren't we concerned? Why are we saying that they can just based on this voice? They didn't even see the person. How can they write the get on that behalf? What about it? Might be a shed who is impersonating him. The answer is, we're talking about they actually saw from a distance, they saw the appearance of a person. So they didn't see, they couldn't see specifically, they couldn't identify him by face, but they could see that it looks like a person. The question is, inunami idmu ya idmu. So what? Shadim sometimes look like people as well. So how is that a proof? The answer is, dechozu le bavur. The case is that they saw that he has a shadow. So the Gemara asks, so what? But inunami islu bavoya, Shadim also cast a shadow. And the answer is, dechozu le bavur de bavur. They saw a shadow of the shadow, meaning that you have, when a person casts a shadow, and then the shadow has kind of a weaker part. You have a stronger and a weaker part. So that kind is called bavur de bavur. So the question is, v'duma inu nami islahu. So what? Maybe Shadim have that as well. And the answer is, Amar Rav Chanina limdani Yonason bni. My son Yonason taught me. Or in Yevamos, actually, it says differently that he's saying that Yonason shida, that there was a shed by the name of Yonason that taught me. Bavur islahu, bavur de bavur leslahu. Shadim have a shadow, just like regular people, but they don't have a shadow of a shadow. So therefore, if you see that, then you know that it's a person. You know it's not a shed. Api Chassidus, it talks about the idea that Shadim, after all, represent Kochas HaTumah. So we're saying Kochas HaTumah have a certain reality in our world, but they don't have bavur de bavur. They don't have a true reality like the way that the things of Kedusha and things that can be used for Kedusha have bavur de bavur. They're able to cast a shadow and a shadow of a shadow, meaning that they have an actual metzius in the world and in the way Hashem created the world. Whereas kochas atumah, such as shadim, do not, because they're really just a negative. They're something that doesn't truly exist after all, because they're only there in order to be. They're only there in order to be overcome. Anyway, so therefore, so if you see bavur de bavur, then you're fine, and then you know it's not a shed, and therefore you're able to write the get based on this disembodied voice that you heard. The interesting thing is actually the Rambam regularly, the Rambam always leaves out Shadim in connection with Halachas. He always assumes that Shadim don't really exist. They're kind of a figment of the imagination. So he would have to understand our Gemara over here as meaning that, in other words, that there's no chance whatsoever that we're very clear that this is a person and not, for example, just that they're hearing voices or something like that. There's an interesting word from the Kotzker that says the Rambam, by saying that there's no Shadim, in effect what he did is he denied them from now on. Therefore, from now on, Shadim in effect don't exist anymore, because the world, the reality of the world follows the Torah. And if the Rambam is saying that, and if the Rambam is saying there's no Shadim, then in a certain sense, then that causes it that indeed there are no more Shadim. And therefore they cease to exist. So we talk about different Gedolei Yisrael in different periods. We talk about that they remove the Shadim from the world. So here there's this vote that the Rambam did part of that by denying the existence of Shadim. But the fact is, so either way, the point is we have to recognize it's him. Okay, the question is, Beduma Tsarahi. Okay, still with all of that, so fine, you're sure it's not a shed, but how do we know it's not a tsara of this wife? Where we learned before that, for example, if the man has two wives, so one of them might want to mess up the other. So imagine, for example, so she goes and impersonates the husband and says, kiss will get the ishti, and then she means that the get should be written for the first wife, Rachel, and then Rachel will get remarried with it, and then Leah will come out and say, ha, I played a trick on you, it wasn't our husband Reuven who said that, it was me, and therefore Rachel, you haven't actually gotten validly divorced, and there'll be all the consequences for it. So how do we know that not? The answer is Tana Dveda Bishmal, the Shasa Sakana, at a time of danger like this, when the person is in the pit, then yes, you can write a get and you can deliver it, even if we don't fully recognize that it's the person. Because the fact is, you got to do it on the spot now, because otherwise you may not have a chance to. So therefore, we'll have to take our chances that it might be a tzara. We're going to assume it's not very likely that a tzara is going to go to all that trouble to mess up this woman. We can assume that it really was, as long as we're not concerned that it's a shed, as we said before, then we can assume that it really was him. And therefore we can write the get on that behalf. The Meiri does point out you would have to make sure that you heard an actual voice and not just that you're imagining things or something like that. Okay, so now that we've talked about in the last couple of Mishnayos where the husband can say only kisvu and it's enough without saying tnu, let's talk about the flip side where he has to say both. The Mishnah says, "Habori sha'ama kisvu get leishti." If a healthy person, so he's not a shchitmera, he's not going out to be executed, he's not going on a sea voyage or whatever, or all these other cases, where he says, "Write a get for my wife," but he didn't say tnu. Rotzal l'sachetba. Then we assume that he's just wanting to play around with her. He does, because he didn't say tnu, so therefore they can't actually give the get because he didn't give them instructions to. So if they give the get under that conditions, then it would be possible. The Mishnah continues, Maisa b'bori echad sh'ama kisvu get l'ishti. It happened once with a healthy person who said, write a get for my wife. V'ola l'rosh ha'gag v'nafol l'mes. Then he went up onto the roof and he fell off and died. And Amar Rav Shimon Gamliel, im me'atzmei nafol ha'rez ha'get. If he fell down on his own, meaning that he actually wanted to jump off, then it's a valid get, as the Gemara is going to explain. This is an example of a chiyach sofer al tchilasai, that the end, the fact that he actually threw himself off the roof shows that he was planning to do it. So therefore, it shows that he was distracted by that, and therefore it's similar to the case of the person going on the voyage or whatever. Therefore, it would be a valid get. Imaruach dachatu ain't a get. But if the wind pushed him off the roof, it wouldn't be a get, because he wasn't expecting to fall and die, and therefore that would be the case of the body in the first half of the mission. Which the Gemara asks, Maisa Lister. Usually a story in a Mishnah is coming to back up and to strengthen what we just said, to buttress what we just said. Here it's the other way around. The Maisa seems to contradict. First, the Mishnah had said as a blanket statement that if a body says kisvu without tnu, then it doesn't work. And now we're saying that there's a distinction whether he jumped off the roof or whether he fell off. So the Gemara says, Chasuri Mechsera. The Mishnah is missing a phrase, Bahochi Katani. It means to say like this. If the end of the story demonstrates about the beginning of it, then it is a valid get, meaning if we see at the end that he was planning to do this all along. And sure enough, you had the case where a person said, write a get for my wife. And he went to the roof and fell off. And Rav Shimon ben Gamliel pointed out because that we have the distinction over here. Im me'atzmei nafal, it is a get. Maruach tachata in a get. That it would be a difference of whether he fell off or whether he jumped off or whether he fell off. So in other words, when the Mishnah is saying bori sha'amar kisvu get leishti, we're not saying that as a blanket statement. Sometimes we're saying you can have a chiyach sofa al tchilasai, where what happens after that demonstrates that in fact he must have meant tnu, even though he didn't say it, as in this example where he jumped off the roof deliberately. Okay, so the Gemara tells another case. Once we're talking about shluchim for a get. Hahu gavra de ol lebeik nishta. There was a man who one time went into shul. Ashkach makri yinuka bredi diyasvi. He found over there was a Muhammad sitting there together with his son. The Yosef inesh achruna gabayu, and then there was another person sitting with them. So there's three people sitting there in shul. Two of them are related, the Muhammad and his son, and then there's a third unrelated man sitting there. Omalavu, he says to them, Beit shreminaychu nichtavu gitel advesu. Two of you should write a get for my wife. So evidently, I guess he must have also meant tnu, because in Pashtos here we're talking about that he was a bori and therefore he does need to say tnu. The twist is l'soif shochiv makri yinuka. In the end, the Muhammad passed away. So out of the three people who were sitting there in shul when he told them kis will get, only two of them are left. The question is, normally that wouldn't be a problem. Fine, any two of them can write the get, as we'll learn in the next mission. The question is, did he even have the son in mind? When you have the father, do people have in mind that the son can be a shliach? In other words, should we assume that he was speaking when he said, and when he said any two of you, that he could have meant the son as well as this other guy? So therefore, then that would be valid. Would we say that he must have meant the father and this other guy? Well, in that case, then he never appointed the son as a shliach, and therefore, when the father passed away, then you only have one of the two people that he said, and that's no good. So what is it? So Rav Nachman Amar Loi Meshavu Inshi Bro Shlicha B'Makom Abba. Rav Abba says, in fact, the second possibility is correct. We don't say if he saw father and son there, we don't assume he meant to appoint the son as a shliach. We assume he meant to appoint the father. And therefore, once the father has passed away, then that's it. The whole thing falls apart. But Rav Papi Amar Meshavu Inshi Bro Shlicha B'Makom Abba. But Rav Papi says people can do that. So therefore, we can assume that he meant the son can be a shliach just as well. And Omar Rava, Rava says, actually the Rif brings it without a name, b'chlal, that anyway, v'hilchsa, m'shavu, inshi brosh, shlich, b'mokam abba, yes, people will make the son a shliach, even when the father is present. So therefore, he meant that any of the three of them can be the shluchim for it. And therefore, if the father, the melamed, passes away, then yes, the other two, the son and this other guy, can write again. As far as the matter of the guy who was in the pit and the shed, by the way, I forgot to mention, Tosfos points out, when you have, if it's in the city or something, then you don't have this whole thing where you have to see a shadow and all that, because shadim tend to hang out in uninhabited places. So when you have, for example, the person is in a pit out in the middle of nowhere, then you have to be concerned that it was a shed, and then you have to see bavoya de bavoya and all of that. But if it was in the city, you wouldn't need that, because then shadim are less likely to hang around in those places as well. Continues the Mishnah, the bottom of the Amud. Amar l'shnayim tnu get l'ishti. Now, what if the husband says, give a get to my wife? Now, here it's the other way around. Before we said, where he said only write it. And we said, if he's a bori and it's not hashkiach sofa tchilasai, then that doesn't work. Here we're talking about the other way around. He says, give the get, but he didn't say write it. And the get hasn't been written yet. So what does that mean? So if he says to two people, give a get to my wife, and he hasn't yet told them to write the get, or he says to three people, kiss will get to tnula ishti, write and give the get to my wife, then they can write the get and give it. The point is, when he said it to two people, they themselves have to be the ones to actually write the get and to sign it. Because two people don't constitute a beis din, so therefore it means that he appointed them only eidim. So therefore they themselves have to be. So we'll see actually in the Gemara whether they themselves have to write the get. Maybe they can tell the sofer to write the get, but definitely the signing they were going to have to do themselves, because that's why he told them tnu, meaning that you yourself have to do it. You can't delegate it to somebody else. If he tells it to three people, even though that three are capable of being a beis din, but he said the word kisvu, so therefore he meant to make them only edim. Otherwise, if he had just said to them tnu, then it would mean I'm making you a beis din to see to it that my wife receives a get, and then they would be able to delegate it to other people. So therefore, sarei other yichtu will be yitnu. So in both those cases, they have to write it and they have to give it. Again, maybe we'll see in the Gemara, maybe they can delegate to others the writing of the get, but definitely they themselves have to sign it. We're going to talk about in the Gemara that we're going to talk about in the Gemara the concept called mili loy mimsiran l'shliach. We're going to say words cannot be given over to a shliach. Meaning, in other words, that so in other words, here he's giving them verbal instructions. He's not giving them an actual get. Then therefore, you can't delegate that to somebody else. We're going to discuss that point in the Gemara, and we'll get to there, Be'ez Hashem. that there's a few different other explanations of what mili la mimser on the shliach means, what exactly is considered mili in this connection. So we'll talk about that more in the Gemara. But anyway, that's the point is, because he only told them, so in the case of two, where there can't be a basin, it doesn't matter whether he told them kisvu or tnu, or just tnu. In the case of three, if he had told them tnu, then that would be, I'm appointing you a basin to see to it that the get is delivered. But once he says kisvu or tnu, means he wants them to write, or at least to sign the get themselves. So omar l'shloisha tnu get l'ishti. If he says to three people, give a get to my wife, and again, no get has been written yet, then they could tell other people to write that get and to sign it, because three people constitute a bastin, and therefore that means that the bastin's job is not really to write the get themselves. The bastin's job is really to tell tell the edim what to do. The Gemara is going to call this soon oimer im, that he says to them, tell other people to do such and such. So Divrei Rameir holds that Oimer Imru is fine, and therefore when he's telling the Beis Din, you don't write the get yourselves. Instead, you delegate it to other people to do, then that's fine, and it's considered a valid get, according to Rameir. And the Mishnah continues, V'zu halacha hela Rav Chanina ish oine mebeis ha'asurin. Rav Chanina ish oine brought this halacha from jail. In the name of Rabbi Akiva, it actually says. So we know Rabbi Akiva was in jail, a famous story. So while he was in jail, Rabbi Chanina Ish Oinoi learned the following din from him. The same thing, Mekubal Ani, that I have the Kabbalah from my Rabbeim, says Rabbi Akiva, but Oimel L'Shloisha Tznu Get L'Ishti, where a person says to three people, give a get to my wife, She'yom R'Lachein V'Yichtavu, they're able to tell others that, and they'll write the get, and they shasan Beistin, because by saying Tznu, without Kisvu, he's making them a Beistin, and therefore he's empowering them just to Oimel Imru, he's telling them, you tell others to write the get. So Rabbi Chanina Ish Oino is saying, not only Rabbi Meir holds this, but you should know Rabbi Akiva holds this way also. However, Omer Rabbi Yossi, but Rabbi Yossi says, Numinu l'shliach, we, the other Chachamim, said to the Shliach, meaning Rabbi Chanina Ish Oino, who told us what Rabbi Akiva had said, we told him, we don't exactly agree with your version of what you said in the name of Rabbi Akiva. No, what we learned, af onu mekubalim, in fact, we learned from Rabbi Akiva, not like what you're saying, but shafilu omel based in agoro shebishalayim tnu get l'ishti. Even if he says the based in agoro in Yerushalayim, and you would think that them, for sure, he means that they should delegate it to others because they have more important things on their agenda. Nevertheless, if he tells them tnu get l'ishti, he says, give a get to my wife, there's no oimer imru, so therefore they can't delegate it to somebody else. They're going to have to learn how to write a get if they don't yet know how to write one. They're going to have to write it themselves and write it and give it. So in other words, Rabbi Yossi is saying, no, you're telling us, Rabbi Chanina Ish Oinoi, that Rabbi Akiva said that it's good that Oimer Imru works, that he can tell the Beis Din to have other people write the get. No, we learned from Rabbi Akiva that regardless, always, even if he says it to a Beis Din, they themselves have to write the get. So we'll see in the Gemara. We'll see in the Gemara more about their machlokes. So the Mishnah continues. Omer la'asara. We learned this part earlier in the Masechta. Omer la'asara kisvu tnu get l'ishti. If a person says to a group of 10 people, write a get and give it to my wife, then echad kosev v'shnayim kosmin. He doesn't mean that all 10 of them have to be involved. One of the 10 can write it. Any one of the 10, and two of them have to sign. You don't need all of them. But if he says kulchem ksoivu, if he says all of you write the get, then echad kosev v'kolon kosmin. Then one of them has to write, but all of them, including the one who wrote, have to sign. Because that's why he said kolchem, mean that he's machbir, and that all of them should be signing it. Lefichach mes echaben, and it's a get bottle. So therefore, if one of them dies before he signs the get, then the get will be bottle because not everybody signed in it. In effect, what it means is, we've learned earlier in the Masechta, it's not really so much that you need, obviously a get doesn't need 10 edim, it only needs two, but what we're saying is basically he made a tnai over here that the get is going to be valid only with the signatures of all 10 of them. So we learned earlier actually that two of them are edim, the other eight are not really edim, they're only there because of the tnai. So we talked about, for example, that they sign further down so that the first two Edim, the first two of them have to be kosher Edim. So for example, if there's relatives or psula Edris among them, then they have to sign further down and so forth, because we don't want people to think that psula Edris can sign again. Okay, so let's focus on the first part of the Mishnah. Where we said again that if the husband says to two people, give the get, he says to three people, write it and give it, then even Reb Meir is going to agree he hasn't made him a beis din, and therefore they themselves have to write it. But what so first of all, so the Gemara says, Amar Reb Yirmiyahu bar Abba, Shochem Lemi Bei Rav LeShmuel. They sent a message from the yeshiva of Rav to Shmuel. Rav passed away, Reb Shmuel Gaon tells us in his Igeres, 7 years before Shmuel. So even though Rav had a Talmud, Reb Huna, who took over as the Rosh Hashiva, nevertheless, still they would send questions from there to Shmuel because he was from the previous generation. So they wrote, Yilamdenu Rabbeinu, Rebbe teach us, in a case, Omer L'Shnayim Kisvu Utnu Get L'Ishti, what if he tells two people, write and deliver the get to my wife? V'omru L'Sofer V'Kosav, what if they tell the Sofer to write, and V'Chos Muhein, so they signed it. Mahu, what would be the din? Is that good, or does it mean that they themselves have to actually write the get? In other words, the question basically boils down to, when the Mishnah said, does it mean they have to write the actual text of the get themselves, or is it enough that they sign the get? Shalach lo, so Shmuel sent him back a message that the get, it's a suffix. Therefore, Tetze, if she ended up remarrying after receiving such a get, then she and her new husband have to divorce. V'adavet sarech Talmud, but we need to learn it further. It's not completely clear to us. We need to learn from people who are greater than us whether maybe such a get is kosher. So the Gemara says, Maya davet sarech Talmud, what exactly is Shmuel's suffolk in it? Ilema mashum dehavelahu mili. Is it because the shlichus amounts to a shlichus of mili? Is it because we're talking only mili, it's only words, because there's no physical get that the husband gave to the shliach? And the question is, can you delegate a shlichus of words to somebody else? So maybe that's what Shmuel's suffolk is. So now the question is, in other words, he told them kisvu. That's mili, because he didn't give them a physical get. So now, are they able to delegate and tell the sofer, you write the get, l'shmoy or l'shma, or not? Would that be Shmuel's suffolk? What can't be? V'omer Shmuel, omer Rabbi, halacha k'Rav Yosi, da'omer mili le'mimser on the shliach. No, because Shmuel clearly says in the name of Rabbi, halacha k'Rav Yosi, da'omer mili le'mimser on the shliach, that the halacha is like Rabbi Yosi in our Mishnah, who says that you can never give over mili to a shliach. Again, we had in the Mishnah, Reb Meir had said there are cases where you could. Now we have like this actually. Earlier in the Masechta, we had on Daf Chav Tes, we had a discussion. Taka, why not? Why? What would be the reason why, if the husband says to the Edim, write to get, why would we say that they have to write it themselves rather than delegating it to somebody else? So we brought two reasons in the Gemara. Abaya had given a reason because of the bizoyan of the husband, meaning the husband may not want it to be so publicly known that he doesn't know how to write a get. After all, the pasuk does say b'chos avla, and usually the expectation would be that the husband himself writes it. In practice, he usually doesn't. He delegates it to a sofer to do. But nevertheless, he may not want it to be known publicly that he's incapable of writing it. So therefore, they have to write it themselves, because otherwise the husband would be machbid that other people know that he can't write it. That was Abaya's reason over there. Rava's reason over there was because mili le'mimser on l'shliach. So now in our Gemara over here, we're saying that the Tosfos explains like this. If we said like a bias reason, then that would work even according to Reb Meir in the Mishnah. Even Reb Meir was saying that in the case of a beis din of three, when he said tnu, then you can write it. He would say because there's no bizoyan, because he only said tnu, so obviously he doesn't mind them doing it. But in the case where he says to two, when he says to two people, write the get, or just says give the get, or whatever, then you would have this issue of bizoyan. But here, if we're talking about according to mili le'mimser on l'shliach, then that would be only according to Reb Yosi, because according to Reb Meir, we're saying sometimes they can be given over. So, but Shmuel clearly says the halacha is like Rabbi Yosi, milu le mimser on the shliach. So what's the suffix then in that case? If the edim in this case did not write the get, they only signed it, then they had no, based on what Rabbi Yosi is saying and what Shmuel is saying, the halacha is like him, then they have no ability to tell the sofer to write the get. So what's the question? So why? So that he says Tate, we understand, but why does he say about Dovot Sarech Talmud? We still need to look into this further. According to what they're saying, there should be no suffix at all. It's no good. Elo the Shmuel Hakam Abayle. Rather, we have to say that Shmuel is having the following suffix. Haik Sovu, the very word that he says to them, write the get. Does that mean Ik Sav Yodam Ik Sav Get? Does it mean that he wants them to write the entire, does it mean ksav yadon? Does it mean that just there needs to be their handwriting on the get, which would mean their signatures? Ksav get, or did he mean that they actually have to write the get itself out? So here, they didn't write the get, so therefore then it would be possible. So you can learn, Rashi says basically it comes down to what does the husband mean when he says ksovu? Was he referring just to the signatures, or is he referring to the actual get itself? And then Tosfos learns a little differently, that he's saying, in other words, does he mean that they should do it all by themselves, or does he mean that they should have other people involved as well? So that would be the question, therefore. So therefore, that's why he's saying about Dovot Sarech Talmud. Well, the Gemara asks, why does he have the suffix? The Tifshit Lei Mimas Nistin. Why can't he answer based on our Mishnah? Omer L'Shnayim T'nu Get L'Ishti, where he says two people write the get for my wife. Or the Shloisha Kis will get to T'nu L'Ishti. Where he says the three people write the get and give it to my wife. Harei L'Yichtu will be Yitnu. Then they have to write the get and they have to sign it. So clearly it means that yichtavu v'yachtamu, yichtavu means b'pashtus, they have to write the whole get. So obviously they have to write it. What's the question? So the answer is, he gufach kamim b'alei. Well, that itself is what Shmuel is not sure about. When he says, when it says in the Mishnah, k'sovu, what he says to them, write, that's what it means. K'sav yodanhu or k'sav agetu. Does it mean there has to be their handwriting somewhere on the get, meaning their signatures, or does it mean that he wants them to write the entire get? So therefore, you can't prove one way or the other from the Mishnah, because when the Mishnah says that he tells them write, and when it says yichtivu, we don't know whether it means writing the whole get or whether it means only signing it. Okay, so the Gemara says, So the Gemara says pshita de ksava getu. Shouldn't it be obvious that it means the actual writing of the get itself? De katani sefer, because what do we have in the continuation of the Mishnah? So Omer Rabbi Yosi numinu l'shliach. We told Rabbi Chanina ish oinoi when he reported the halacha in the name of Rabbi Akiva that with three they can delegate it to others. So Rabbi Yosi says we told Rabbi Chanina af onum kabbalah. No, you're telling us you have a kabbalah from Rabbi Akiva, but we also have a kabbalah that says differently from him. Shafilu omala based in a goder shabir shalim. To get the ishdi, even if he told the based in a goder shabir shalim, write a get for my wife. Shiyumadu v'yichdu v'yitnu law. They have to learn how to write the get and write and give it to her. So iyamet b'shlem ksava getu. If you say, and that in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yosi is saying they have to even write the entire get themselves. Okay, shaker, then we understand. The Beis Din HaGadol, even though they're the national authority in halacha for the Jewish people, they may never have had experience writing a get before, so they need to learn, they need to look up and learn the relevant halachas of how to write a get. Eli, I'm a ksav yodan, but if you say you're talking about just that they have to sign the get, how could there ever be a Beis Din who don't know how to sign their names? So wouldn't that show, therefore, automatically that the Mishnah means that they have to write the get, not just sign it? And the answer is, the Gemara says, not necessarily. Sure, you could have a newly seated Beis Din. They never, of course, Dayanim are regularly going to be signing their names to Piskei Din and to Shtaris that are being executed in Beis Din and so on and so forth. But this is a new Beis Din. They haven't had experience with that yet. They've never actually had the experience of signing their name yet on a document. So therefore, yes, you could say and that maybe in that case, there's an omission. And when it says Yomadu, maybe Rabbi Yossi means that they're going to have to learn how to sign the way you sign a get, because they've never done that before. Not necessarily does Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah mean that they have to write out the entire get. So you still don't have a proof one way or the other from the Mishnah, which is why Shmuel has his supper. Okay, so the Gemara continues. So the Gemara asked the East Birulon the High Soybook Sabyodanhu. So let's see if we hold. So again, Shmuel's suffix is whether when he says in the Mishnah, I have to write, whether it means writing the get or whether it means signing it. If we're gonna say that it means ksav yodan, then it means only those signatures, ha ksava get kosher, implying that the rest of the get could be written by somebody else. How could that be? What about, though, we find that Shmuel also says that mili, that a shlichus of words, cannot be given over to a shliach. So even if we say that the husband himself may not mind the get being written by somebody else, we're going to say, let's say, like a buyer, that it's a problem of bizoyin de baal, and we're going to say that that there's not an issue because he doesn't care whether the get is written by somebody else. Nevertheless, the fact is that milu le mimsir on l'shliach. So how could they so there's no possibility that they could delegate the writing of it to anybody else. So shouldn't it be on that basis automatically? Then we know it must be that they can't delegate it to somebody else to write. The definition of mili, by the way, there's a few different explanations in Mishonim. So Rashi says over here that there's no actual physical get. When you give a get to a shliach, then sure, the shliach can appoint another shliach because you have a physical get over there. But here you don't have that. Here there's nothing physical. There's nothing tangible over here. Then there's another explanation. The Mordechai brings in Kiddushin, brings an explanation from the Kodesh Meradush. So he was one of the Balei HaTosfos that we find in some places. His name was Reb Shloima. He was from Radush or Droyush or whatever, a city in France, and he's called a Kodesh. I guess he must have been killed on Kiddush Hashem, but we don't really know anything about him. Anyway, he explains that mili means not where there's nothing tangible in his hand. It means where he's not able to complete it by himself. So the point is, in other words, he doesn't need anybody else's consent. So in the case of a shliach who has a get in his hand and he's told to bring it to the woman, after all, the gerushin can be accomplished without the wife's das until cherem de'aben gerushin. We've talked about that before. Therefore, he doesn't need her consent to give it to her. So therefore, that's good enough. It all depends on him. So as opposed to over here, he can't actually make the get happen. All he can do is write it. So therefore it's considered mili because he doesn't have the ability to accomplish the whole thing, and therefore that would be considered mili. Anyway, the point is that Shmuel is saying the halacha is mili le mimsir and l'shliach, however we define mili. So automatically, on the basis of that, fine, we can't prove from our Mishnah, but we should be able to prove from Shmuel's own statement that they can't tell somebody else to write the get, they have to write it themselves. The answer is Amri. The Chachamim answered, if we held that in the Mishnah, when it says they have to write the get, means they only have to sign it, and they don't have to write the entire get, then as far as the writing of the rest of the get, and we would say that in that case, they would be able to delegate it. The reason is nasek oimer imru, because that would be the equivalent of him saying that he's telling them, imru, you tell somebody else to write the get, umoide Rabbi Yossi, but oimer imru, and that Rabbi Yossi would agree with oimer imru. In other words, there's a difference. When he tells the person himself, you write the get, then that's mili, and Rabbi Yossi would say, you can't delegate it. But when to begin with, he tells the shliach, you tell somebody else to write this get, then the Bnei HaYeshiva now are saying, to answer the question, that yes, Rabbi Yossi would say that that's fine, and they can now accomplish their shlichus by telling somebody else to write the get. But the Gemara asks, does Rav Yossi in fact agree that Imru is fine and say that it's fine for them to now tell somebody else to write? V'hatnan, we learn in a Mishnah towards the end of our Masechta on Pezayinu days, Ksav Sofer V'Eid Kosher, if the get is written in the handwriting of the sofer and it has one aid signed on it, then it's kosher. Now, obviously, one aid is not good enough. So, Omer Reb Yumia explains over there in the Gemara, chasam sofer shaminu. It means that the sofer, having written the get, also signed as one of the aidim, and now you have a second aid with him. This is, by the way, of course, where the chasam sofer got the name of his svarim from. It's actually a play on words because you have the words chasam sofer over here in the Gemara, but also chasam stands for chidushe toras moshe. Chasam sofer stands for chidushe toras moshe sofer because that was his name. Anyway, the point is that here we're talking about, so the get was written by the sofer, and the same sofer himself signed as one of the aidim, and then another aid signed as well. And so we're saying that's kosher. And the Omer of Chista Masnissin Mani Rabbi Yossi. And Rav Chista says that Mishnah is specifically according to Rabbi Yossi, Dama Mili Lai Mimsur on the Shliach, who says that you can't give over a shlichus of words to a shliach. So therefore, in other words, so the only ones who can sign the get are the ones who the husband actually told to. So now is there potentially the problem over here that maybe the husband didn't want that maybe the husband tells his shliach tell the sofer to write, and I want two people to sign it. Meanwhile, the shliach thinks, one second, the sofer is going to be embarrassed. What do you mean? You don't want me to sign on the get? Why? Am I only good enough to write it? I'm not good enough to sign it. So therefore, he tells the sofer to sign it. So that's the thing, just the opposite. If we said mili mimsir on the shliach, if we said you could do that, then you would have that potential problem that maybe he told the shliach to do that, to delegate to the sofer and to the edim to sign, and then the shliach on his own altered the shlichus and said, you know what, it's not really right. It would be embarrassing to tell the sofer, write it, but you can't sign it. It almost sounds as though we're saying you're a posel aid. So therefore the shliach changed it. But once we say mila le mimsur on the shliach, there's no problem with that because it has to be, therefore, that the husband himself directly told the sofer to write the get. And therefore he can sign and to sign as one of the aidim, and he directly told the other aid to sign as the other one. So we see that Rabbi Yossi holds, and not only do we see Rabbi Yossi holds mili le mimsur on the shliach, the isak adaitach murder Rabbi Yossi ba'omer imru, if Rabbi Yossi agrees, as we just wanted to say, that there's a difference between whether he tells the aidim, whether he tells the shliach, give the get, which therefore the shliach has no right to appoint somebody else to write and to give it, versus when he says Omer Imru, where there you could say he does have the right to do that, then you have a problem. Nofik minei churba. You still have a problem that could come out of it. Dizimnin de omelahu l'shnayim, imru l'sefer v'yichtov v'leploni uploni v'yachtamu. What if he tells two people, you tell the sofer to write the get, and you tell Ploini and Ploini to sign. And then they're going to figure, we don't want to embarrass the sofer by implying that he can't sign it. So therefore, we're going to change it. We're going to allow him to sign as one of the two. So one of the two that he said, the husband had said, tell Reuven the sofer to write it and tell Shimon and Levi to sign. The people they told that to instead figure that would be embarrassing, so we'll allow Reuven and Shimon to sign it. And the husband didn't say it, and therefore it would be possible. So if Rabbi Yossi says you can never give over mili to a shliach, whether we're just talking that he told them write the get, or whether Oimu Imru, whether he tells them you tell others to write the get, fine, then there's no potential problem with that. Always, whoever signed the get will have been told to do so directly by the husband, because mili le mimsur on the shliach. But if you're telling me that Rabbi Yossi is going to hold that sometimes mili does work in the case of Omer Imru, then how can we say that this get with the sofer himself and one other aid signed that it is good? What if there was a case of Omer Imru over here and the aidim, the shluchim that he sent, decided to change things up because they didn't want to embarrass the sofer? So the answer is, even the answer is that that's not a problem. Even the Omer Mar kosher, but like to us it came to Israel. Since we say further on in the sugya, we say when the husband says to people to tell the sofer to do that. The get is kosher. V'loy te'osa can be Yisrael, but such a thing should not be done among the Jewish people for reasons that the Gemara is going to say. Later. So then loy shchiach. So it's not so common, even though oimer imru technically might work. Therefore, it's not such a concern that it would have happened, and therefore we have no reason to be gozer when we find this get that it was signed by the sofer plus one more aid. It's unlikely that that there was a case like this where he told them we are not supposed to do that in the first place, and then on top of that they decided on their own to let the sofer be one of the aidim. It's uncommon enough that it's not a problem when we don't have to pass over the get because of that. So now Rashi also adds Shmuel. So in the Gemara that we were talking about over here, we had the Mishnah had used the expression ksav sofer, the aid kosher. Reb Yumia had understood it to mean that the sofer was one of the signers on the get. Rashi says we can say that Shmuel disagrees with Reb Yumia. He says that it means the sofer wrote the get and the aidim and one aid signed it. So then we're not talking about a sofer. We're not talking about a sofer signing the get at all. So we're saying it's loy shchiach. It's not common, and Shmuel would hold anyway that there's no problem when Shmuel says the halacha is like Rabbi Yosi that milu le mimsur and mishliach. He would explain that Mishnah differently than Rabbi Yumiya was explaining it anyway. So therefore we don't have to say that Mishnah is dafka according to Rabbi Yosi. It could even be according to the mayor. Still, though, Tosfos says it's not so logical that Shmuel would be arguing with Rabbi Yumiya and Rabbi Chista. So therefore, the Gemara was assuming to begin with that Shmuel is going to agree with Rabbi Chista and Rabbi Yumiya, but now we're saying maybe not necessarily. So there's less of a concern of that, and therefore we don't have to be concerned about that unlikely situation that the sofer is signing because the people who told Oimer Imru said that you can be one of those ones to sign. Still, the Gemara asked, what about, though, there could be another possibility. If you're going to tell me Oimer Imru works, then conceivably you could tell two people. You tell the sofer right to write the get. You yourself sign the get. And that is not loy ta'osa ken be Yisrael. But as the Hanach, meanwhile, these two come, mishum kisofer to sofer. And again, they're going to figure, we don't want to embarrass the sofer. We don't want to imply that he can't sign the get validly. They're going to have the sofer signed together with one of them. Meanwhile, the husband hadn't said that. So the answer is Amri. So the answer would actually Honami kosher v'loy te'osu. That's also something where we would say the get is kosher, but it shouldn't be done like that, as the Gemara is going to explain further down on the Amud. Why not? Because Taka, you have the concern that then you might do that even when the husband says that other people should sign the get as well. So the Gemara says Honichal amanda Amud kosher v'loy te'osu. Fine, that's according to the opinion that says further down on the Amud that's also kosher v'loy ta'ase, in this case where he told the Edim themselves to be the signers, and then we have maybe the concern that they would tell somebody else. El amanda Amud kosher v'loy ta'ase, but you have an opinion that there's a difference between him saying you tell the sofer to write and you tell two other people to sign, where there we say loy ta'ase kein b'Yisrael, versus where he says you yourselves sign the get after the sofer writes it, where there, according to one opinion further along, that is fine. We're gonna have at the bottom of the Amud. So then according to that, Ma'ik Lamema, then according to that, what can you say? You still have the problem that according to Rabbi Yosi, if you say that you say that there's a case that Rabbi Yosi would agree that in that case it's fine, Oimer Imru would work. You still have the problem now if the get turns up with the signature of the sofer on it, it might be that wasn't what the husband had instructed originally. So Ella, we have to say Rabbi Yosi Tauti Kama. There are two, Rabbi Yosi is saying in both cases in our Mishnah, both when he says to three people that to give the get, he didn't say Imru, or when Oimer Imru, Rabbi Yosi would hold in both those cases, it doesn't work. Shmuel agrees with Rabbi Yosi as far as one of those dinim and disagrees with him in the other and holds that the halacha is like Rabbi Meir in the other. So, uh, So it's true. If we followed Rabbi Yossi exclusively, then you would have a problem. And Rashi adds also when we have the discussion further about what's allowed and what's not allowed, what's also came to Israel and what's not, that would be specifically within Rabbi Meir's opinion, because within Rabbi Yossi's opinion, there was nothing to talk about. But nevertheless, Shmuel, when Shmuel said, Hadavar Tzarech Talmud, is because he agrees that where there's no Oimer Imru, the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, that they can't, he just said to them, Ksovu, so they can't delegate it, but he disagrees with him about Oimer Imru, where Rabbi Yossi is going to say Oimer Imru is also no good. Shmuel is saying that might be good, but the question is over here, when he told them, Ksovu, does he mean that they themselves have to write the get, or does it mean that it's good enough only if they sign? That discussion will continue in the next piece of Gemara, interspersed with a piece of Agadta about the milos of the various Chachamim. So that'll be tomorrow, Rez Hashem.